This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So, Frank Joseph, are we really part ET even now?
Well, look at it this way. Skeptics who would dismiss everything you said are still themselves to thoroughly explain or understand human evolution. We've learned a lot about it, but we don't know everything about it, and there are some very major steps that have contributed to what we've become, who we are. So why should we rule that out? I don't go to the point of saying, oh, yes, the ETs engineered us, bioengineered us, but they could have. And maybe they did. I think we need more work, more study in that direction, certainly more open-mindedness towards it. It's very possible that we were genetically changed. I don't know, though, that the ETs over time would have the same agenda. They may have changed. Again, it's very difficult to second-guess a non-human species. I mean, we don't even understand the dolphins or the apes that are close to us. So trying to understand something like them, we're talking so much about theory tonight, I might as well put mine out there, which is not original at all, but other people share it all. I think it's very possible. This is a stretch to a cross-all stretch. I don't believe that the ETs really are, for the most part, different species. I think they're us. I think they're time travelers, quite honestly. I think that there are descendants coming back, and they're trying to change things. That's very possible. They may have undergone some kind of, they may have gone too far with their technology or whatever, or their materialism, and it's very possible that these are our descendants coming back to us now. Of course, that's a huge stretch for people that are not familiar with even the basics of this new physics that's developing now, but it's not as far out once you grasp some of the new principles that are being generally accepted now by consensus science, amazingly. So that's what I think. I think that they are less visitors on another planet. Maybe some of them are. Then I think that they're interdimensional or temporal creatures. I think that's what I prefer. I think that their physical resemblance to us is too close. One thing that's kind of troubling, because if evolution started on another world, I think you would have something completely different, because the environmental conditions would not be close enough to what we have here. So I don't think human beings have evolved the same in different parts of the galaxy or whatever.
Now, this reminds me of the movie Time Cop, where this organization of human beings in the future goes back in time to right wrongs. Now, of course, we have the TV series, superhero series, Legends of Tomorrow, where you have these superheroes going back through time in a craft called Wave Rider. Of course, it's a romp. It's a lot of fun. But they are trying, if imperfect, to fix the damage in the time stream. The thing I wonder, though, about the paradox, where the theory is that if you change a very tiny element in the past, it could have a vast, vast impact on the future, not always predictable.
Well, that's the whole concept about parallel universes. We're constantly creating parallel universes because we're changing things.
Well, because this just drives me nuts whenever I hear people get on about the time travel thing, because you know that it's a trope for sci-fi. And I'm really actually quite impressed that you've got the insight to see that the only way you could really do that is by creating parallel universes. That is, that's really quite impressive, actually.
You make limitless parallel universes, so choose your pick. And Gene Voss, something too, like interesting, going back in time and correcting, righting wrongs. Well, maybe it's not wrong for the people that are back there. Maybe they're creating something evil, something terrible. You know, it looks great to you, but to them, the flip side of it is it's terrible. You know, like so even in our own culture, you know, where things that are totally unacceptable to us now were a matter of fact, you know, just a couple of decades ago, and it wasn't anything to
I was thinking
things,
about that.
Say certain things, and now people are horrified by it, you know, so evil and good, those are very transitory, culturally flexible.
The whole politically correct movement is definitely one of those, for sure. You know, just going back a little bit in the conversation, we've covered so much stuff here. I mean, we could pick out individual bits and pieces of this conversation and expand on them for whole episodes. But you've got another book, The Survivors of Atlantis. Like, what's maybe the possibility that maybe that's what we're dealing with instead of something that's extraterrestrial?
Gee, I don't know. I see Atlantis as a kind of a Bronze Age phenomena, reached a very high level of material success. But its real power today is that its close, eerie resemblance to our own level of society. I think that is the most compelling thing about the story of Atlantis. The more you look into it, it's like, oh boy, this sounds like the United States, or, you know, headed on a kind of a scary fast track, you know, not just the United States, but Western civilization or human civilization generally. Yeah, there are parallels there. I've always been interested in the Atlantis thing, not just because it's interesting in terms of prehistory, which is great. I think it was part of the Minoan and the Trojan and Mycenaean Greek experience for sure. But beyond that, it's like, wow, boy, they were pretty modern.
Well, yeah, I mean, the mythology there is that they were quite advanced compared to the rest of the civilizations at the time.
Right.
I mean, if they actually existed, but I mean, suppose they did. I mean, if they're, where did you come up with this idea for survivors of Atlantis? Like, what evidence is there that there really was Atlantis and that there were any survivors at all?
Well, I think there's huge evidence for it. If I was in a court of law, I feel very confident that I could bring in a guilty verdict on its actual existence. However, it would be without the body. That's the same thing, circumstantial evidence. That's what we have. We only have circumstantial evidence for the existence of Atlantis. However, it is a mountain of circumstantial evidence, self-validating circumstantial evidence. But until the body is actually found, we cannot say for sure this is the real thing. I admit that. And I think that someday, though, that body will be found as subsurface technology develops and is able to locate specific things.
Yeah, there have been some claims that they have found actually parts of it.
Yeah, you know, there's claims like that all the time, but none of that has been verified so far.
Yeah, same with the MACLA, the incident you were talking about just a little bit previously, where we had the military jets intercept UFO.
Yeah.
There was I remember they said there was somebody claimed they found it, and then it turned out to be nothing. So they wasn't there. So they've never found those jets. That reminded me of the whole Valentech thing, where you were saying, okay, well, what happened to it then? Did it just get, you know, beamed up into a giant mothership or something?
Well, look at it this way. There was no wreckage. There was no evidence of an explosion. Nobody saw or heard anything. All they saw were the two blips on the radar screen merge, and then the blips just vanished away, and nothing ever was seen again. That sounds like an abduction. And I believe that it was an abduction for this reason. In that same time, in 1953, there was now this is kind of remarkable. Yeah, so September 1st, there was a similar abduction, only of five aviators in the Soviet Union, according to Paul Stonehill, who's done some pretty remarkable work on the Russian experience. And that was the previous September, 1953, another mid-air abduction. And that was, of course, in the Soviet Union. I think that there was an attempt by the UFO people, or whatever you want to call them, that they just wanted the whole thing. And it was no problem for them to just grab this aircraft and its inhabitants, which is a terrifying thing to think of, because Felix Mokla and Robert Wilson, and these young men in their 20s, they're flying the jet plane, and all of a sudden they're enveloped in this great hall of some kind, and then these creatures are able to cool down the aircraft and examine the aircraft, and they know that's the end of their lives. Who knows what these creatures did with them?
You know, I do know,
to explain
with
it.
All the questions we have, Frank Joseph, I do know there are announcements afoot, And the only way to avoid them is to become a member of Paracast Plus at plus.theparacast.com. We have Frank. We have Gene. We have Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Attention GCN self-reliance listeners. If you've ever wanted an emergency solar survival backup system but were waiting for prices too crazy to pass up, this will be the most important message you'll ever hear. Bill Hyde here, and I want to tell you about a huge sale with historically low prices on our PPX microgrid system that's going to let you produce an endless supply of electricity off the grid. The clearance price is a result of the historic flooding we're having here right on the east bank of the Mississippi. Because of the flooding, we've had to move a lot of our inventory to a temporary location. And rather than move it back to the warehouse, we thought we'd offer the system at a price that might seem unbelievable if you didn't know the floodwaters backstory. So here's what you should do right now. Check out the PPX microgrid system at myownpowergrid.com. That's myownpowergrid.com. Over $1,000 in great off-the-grid gear and a ton of bonuses, too. And the best part? You're not going to pay $750 or $500, $300, or even $200. Go to myownpowergrid.com to learn more. That's myownpowergrid.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-506-6740. 800-506-6740. That's 800-506-6740.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Time flies when you're having fun. That's not a joke. I mean, we're almost finished with the show. We got the last three segments. And we haven't started. Randall, why don't you pick up on this?
Well, where did we leave off there?
Well, what I mentioned was these mid-air abductions, which I think
Okay, mid-air abductions, for sure. Let's talk about some of those.
Mid-air, not a mid-air abduction, but a mid-sea abduction, perhaps. This was very bizarre. It took place on September 8, 1970. And the gentleman involved was Captain William Schaffner. He was flying an Electric Lightning, which was a jet aircraft at that time. He was with the United States Air Force based in England. And he was alerted on the evening of September 8, 1970, to an unknown contact over the North Sea. And at 10:30 p.m., his aircraft, which was the Electric Lightning, but its code name was Foxtrot 94. In Foxtrot 94, at 10:30 p.m., everything was fine. He was tracking this object. He says, yes, I have something on my radar. I don't know what it is. It wasn't flying erratically or at a particular high speed, but it was unidentified. 1970, of course, relationships between the West and the Soviet Union were not exactly exemplary. And he approached the unidentified target and described it as a translucent sphere. And he was going to approach it more closely, and he was approaching it. His avionics went out. Lost all communication with it. This is typical where aircraft electrical systems are interfered with them when they get close to these things. So this translucent sphere, that was about the last word that Schaffner was heard to say. His aircraft vanished off the screen, the radar screens. Then a report came in, a radio report came in from an American flying boat. The flying boat, they don't make those anymore. They're just like these big amphibious aircraft. This is a multi-engine aircraft, saying that they had seen the Electric Lightning, the Foxtrot 94, falling out of the sky towards the North Sea. So rescue operations were sent out immediately. The North Sea is very difficult to conduct operations like that, so it was quite some time. It wasn't until December, the following December, that the Foxtrot 94, the Electric Lightning, was found sitting on the bottom of the North Sea in a relatively shallow area, about 100 or so feet below the surface of the water. And it was sitting on its gear upright at the bottom of the sea. When divers went down to investigate Foxtrot 94, they were surprised to see that the aircraft was in relatively good condition and that the cockpit was sealed. The cockpit had never been opened, was pressurized closed, and yet Captain William Schaffner was not inside and was never seen.
Wow, that's really interesting.
And it was covered literally for 14 years in the British press. And you can go on the internet and you can keyboard in anything that I've said, and you will see that this is the story.
How do we explain that? I mean, that's pretty bizarre. Of course, I'm having flashbacks here of a Star Trek moment. I think Captain William Shatner says, instead of Kirk, of course, you know, William Shatner.
William Shatner.
So, yeah, I know. I have to apologize for that. But no, I mean, this is a very interesting story.
Yeah. What I've tried to do with military encounters with extraterrestrials, I try to put as much documented material like this in it. It's primarily the material that I allow to speak for itself. And I didn't set out to do this. I didn't set out to make a book that would convince anybody about the reality of this. I just wanted to bring this information out. But in the course of writing it, it became clear that when you join the military, any military in the world, you are under federal law that you must report the truth. That if you knowingly lie when making a military report, you will go to the federal penitentiary. That's how serious it is. It's always been that way. And so this book, which is composed of literally hundreds of these military reports, are made by men, mostly men, who know that if they lie, that if they're just making these stories up, they're going to spend some pretty hard time at Leavenworth. These reports are solid evidence. These are not just some farmer in a field saying, I saw a funny-looking light. Not only that, but especially the Air Force personnel are the most trained eyewitness observers on Earth. These guys know what to look for, how to steady their mind, so what they're looking at can be reported clearly and accurately. That's military training. When I was finishing this book, I realized, holy cow, this is the real thing. I mean, even myself, you always have some doubt, well, maybe it was this or that, but it's sort of the weight of evidence finally sinks in, like, this is all true. This real stuff is real.
These are the cream of the crop of the reports. I mean, and they do go back a number of years. I mean, we haven't even touched on the 1952 DC sightings where there was F-94s. I mean, and we had, at that point, we had William Patterson who chased one in his jet and was surrounded by them. You know, I mean, it's amazing. And now today we've got pilots like David Fravor. If you watch the interview with that guy, you just think there's no way this guy is making it up. He had a genuine experience. He saw something.
Or that he's wrong, that he made a mistake.
No.
I mean, these people are trained to do. I mean, he would never have said, thinking about saying this if he wasn't sure. If you're not sure, well, who knows what that is. You know, and the scary thing is, I could have written a book five times bigger than this if all of the guys in the military that had seen things had made reports. Mostly, when they see things like this, they don't say anything about it because they know their careers are going to be wrecked or else they're going to go to Section 8, which is the crazy part of the psychiatric ward in the military.
Well, what do you think now then with this whole attitude shift where now because of the pilots coming out and they seem very credible and it's backed up by instrumented tracking and so on. I mean, it's almost undeniable that they're dealing with something that is pretty incredible, whatever it is. How about now? Is this going to be more acceptable? Do you think more pilots are going to come out of the woodwork and say, hey, or, you know, I'd love to see another volume of this. You know, if you could.
Well, these Navy pilots in the first place would never have been able to come out unless they'd been allowed to come out. I think they were more than allowed to come out. I think they were told to come out. As I said at the beginning of our talk today, it appears to me that there is this slow degaussing process going on in which we are being psychologically acclimatized to the fact that, yes, these things exist. Yes, there is another power out there. And maybe we should get ready for it.
I just hope we don't have to get ready for the worst. Wouldn't want that to happen. Then again, we've so messed up this planet. The climate, the tribal wars, maybe we need ET. We got more to come with Gene, Randall, and Frank. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNlife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNlife.com or call toll free 844-443-6637. That's GCNlife.com or 844-443-6637.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Trump has tweeted he's delaying for 2 weeks the deportation raids that were scheduled in about 10 U.S. cities. He says he'll wait to see if Democrats and Republicans can work out a solution to problems at the southern border. And he says if they can't, deportations will begin. Three administration officials told the Associated Press that the operation had been canceled because details had been leaked to the media.
The president also says he'll be Iran's best friend if it renounces nuclear weapons. Before leaving the White House for Camp David, he said he's imposing more sanctions and that military operations are still on the table.
If the leadership of Iran behaves badly, then it's going to be a very, very bad day for them.
He says, I'm neither a hawk nor a dove, but a man with common sense. This is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Are you tired of high cable TV rates? Sign up for Dish today and get a $500 bonus offer while supplies last. Plus, lock in your price for 2 years guaranteed. Call All American Dish, your Dish authorized retailer now.
800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. That's 800-610-5739.
Offers require credit qualification, 24-month commitment. An early termination fee at Auto Bay. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
So maybe E.T. would rather come here and put us out of their misery. You know, there's so many topics to discuss, I'm going to just drop a few. When you talk about ancient Atlantis and those legends, that, as you probably know, has infused even some of our literature related to UFOs and mysteries, even the Shaver mystery. What's the Shaver mystery? Global cataclysm years ago. And some beings flee the earth, others are stuck in caves beneath the earth, and those who are infected by the harmful radiation, well, we know what they become. Frank.
Well, one of the spurs that I had for writing this book was an interview that I heard on the radio of Dr. John E. Brandenburg, who is one of the top physicists in the world today, certainly one of America's leading lights. And in this interview, he said something that I thought was totally crazy, completely unacceptable, in which he said that at one time the planet Mars was very similar to Earth, and that about a billion years ago, there was a society, an intelligent civilization or culture of some kind that flourished on Mars. I'd heard that before. I thought, oh, that's crazy. But then, about a billion years ago, another power came from someplace else and exterminated every living thing on that planet and killed the planet Mars with an atomic-like attack. Well, when I heard that, I thought, that's just crazy. But I was fascinated enough. So I got his book called Death on Mars. And then I had an opportunity for myself to interview him for New Dawn magazine, which is a wonderful Australian magazine. And I found that this man was far from crazy. He was a very impressively erudite man, and he was very kind to explain these complex chemical processes in such a way that I could write it up for our readers, ordinary people like myself. And that he has not discovered this, that his predatory physicists have known about this incident since at least the 1980s or 90s. And it's because of the trace chemical elements that have been analyzed on Mars that could only have come from an artificial atomic attack, not an impact from an asteroid or meteorite. And so Dr. Brandenburg was kind enough to write the foreword for my book. And I think that there is a chilling parallel between what I now believe absolutely did take place, that a billion years ago there was a society of some kind of living intelligent beings that suffered total liquidation, annihilation, and the destruction, the death, the murder of the planet Mars. You know, the universe is potentially capable of absolutely anything. And our mistake is to, like I did, to draw a line in that sand and saying, oh, that's impossible. Nothing is impossible. And if that happened a billion years ago to a people that somehow offended someone else to the point where they merited the equivalent of genocide, well, we commit genocide to our own species, don't we? And other species. So it's not, you know, Earth is a tiny microcosm of the universe, I suppose.
You know, so I wanted to bring up, by the way, for our listeners' sake, we've had Dr. John Brandenburg on the Paracast four times regarding his book,
Wonderful.
Life and Death on Mars, the New Mars Wonderful. Synthesis. We had him on January 2nd, 2011, March 20th, 2011, February 22nd, 2015, November 8th, 2015. And all these episodes are available, by the way, at theparacast.com, or if you check your iTunes, and you go back a few years, we've got every single episode of the Paracast posted. Frank, let's go.
Congratulations. I'm very glad that you did that. But, I mean, it's got to sink in to the levels of the military establishment that if you're going to play with that kind of fire, that could happen. What if we really offended, seriously, deeply mortified, offended somehow, some advanced culture like that that could do that? Why, they'd snuff us out like you'd go out to a hornet's nest with a can of insecticide.
Well, maybe. I don't know. I get into debates with some of the people from time to time on our forum about that. And one of the things that we tend to forget, though, too, is, okay, let's think about the mythology of all of this. Way in the past, if what we're dealing with is, you know, in the chariots of the gods type analogy, if we were dealing with beings from another world then who would come down and demand that we sacrifice our goats and our firstborn to them and so on. That was one thing then. Move up to where you start writing your book about in the modern era, and suddenly they're no longer facing like, tribes, people and herdsmen, but they're facing an army with nuclear weapons. This speaks to your whole analogy with Apocalypse Now and the spear. I mean, our weaponry is getting pretty good right now, and we've got our supply chain right here on Earth. The universe is a very big place to take over this whole planet. You know, people have to tend to overestimate technology. If you want to take over a planet, you got to put boots on the ground, right? So their supply chain would be light years long. I mean, are they really going to put in that kind of effort to take over a planet that is as well defended as ours is? So maybe they're uneasy about us having nuclear weapons because we wouldn't be that easy to take over now as we would have, say, 2,000 or 3,000 years ago.
Well, if you don't mind my saying so, I think you make the mistake of an equivalency between ourselves and beings that we know very little about and are obviously far in advance of ourselves. As far as taking over the planet, they wouldn't be interested in that. They'd be interested in taking us out. And by doing that, they probably wouldn't even bother about a nuclear strike. They would just introduce, as I said earlier, a kind of a pathogen that would take us out.
Well, maybe they've tried to do that in the past. I mean, I'm not sure if you've ever run across a book by William Bramley called The Gods of Eden. Really interesting stuff. Reminds me of your work because he goes back through history into ancient times, ancient Egypt, and so on, and strings together the whole connection between the UFO phenomena and struggle and war on Earth. It's really quite interesting.
Oh, I'm sure. No, that sounds like something that I'd be interested in.
But, I mean, you're right. Yeah, I mean, I think that if they wanted to take out the whole planet and not be concerned about actually occupying it, well, yeah, they could do something like, you know, maybe, you know, launch, you know, even just push asteroids out of the way and head them straight for our planet. I mean, you know, that would finish this off pretty easy, and they wouldn't have to actually fire a shot at any of their own weapons.
The thing I wonder, though, Randall, if you destroy one planet, as opposed to terraforming it, for example, just getting rid of what's there, would there be any consequence to the rest of the solar system?
Oh, interesting. Well, yeah. There might be some cosmic federation of planets. Maybe they can't just go around doing whatever they want. They have to, they too, in turn, have other races that they have to be accountable to. Maybe there is no master alien race that can just do whatever it wants. I don't know. This is all speculation, but it's all fun.
There was a movie came out quite some years ago called Dark Star. And it's kind of a comedy in a way.
Oh, yeah. I know Dark Star.
It's kind of funny. And in a dark way, where the spaceship would travel throughout almost galaxies and so on. And certain selected planets were earmarked for destruction just because they were potentially dangerous somehow.
Unstable,
unstable. And so that was their job. They just go out and destroy these planets with
the and the bomb gets stuck in the bomb bay, and then he gets talking with the bomb because it's an AI. This philosophical discussion.
So, I mean,
that's amazing, actually. I can't believe you brought that up. They had this beach ball thing that's some kind of a life form.
It was funny.
It was so great. It was awesome.
By the way, when I think of that, I think of Doctor Who's Daleks. I don't want to do that. We got more to come with Frank Jean. And Randall, final segment, you're in.
The Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap, but not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state, until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
Maybe not today. Maybe not tomorrow. But soon, you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement? You bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part, Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
When I was a kid, I wanted to be just like Cal Ripken. It's definitely humbling to know that now people are calling me a hero. Instead of finding the IED with my metal detector, the IED found me first, and that resulted in double above-knee amputations. It's hard to describe the feeling of meeting somebody that you've always wanted to be like. There are people now that are looking up to you for their inspiration and to be their role model.
Visit saluteheroes.org to learn more.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book Is From the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
By the way, I want to mention to listeners, if you're familiar with Doctor Who's Daleks, of course, which go back, 60 years now, take a look at the Dalek, then take a look at one of the little robots in Star Wars, and think about the inspiration. Let's go on. Randall?
Where do you want to go for our last segment, Frank?
I think that it's important for us not to try to second-guess what the aliens are doing or why they're doing it. I would imagine by this point they would have decided to wipe us out because of the species inertia of our kind. Eventually, and not too much longer, we are going to have quite the militarization of space, and we're going to be able to colonize the whole solar system, no problem. That's a given, and go beyond that. And we're not going to change. We're always going to be imperialistic and acquisitive and argumentative and dangerous. We've always been dangerous.
We might be the troublemakers.
In the
grand scheme of things, but we're kind of way out here on, you know, the rim of, well, two-thirds of the way out anyways on the, you know, the other civilizations are a long ways away. It's not like we'd have to spend years getting there. I don't think we're going to develop warp drive, you know, really anytime too soon.
They may have interests in the solar system, too. We don't even know about yet. But what I've tried to do, quite honestly, in writing Military Encounters with Extraterrestrials, is to really stay away pretty much from these theoretical possibilities, which are great to discuss with you, and they're actually mind-expanding. I just love it personally. It's wonderful. And you should have a discussion like this. You must. But in the book, I tried to stay away from that. I wanted hard evidence that I could actually document. I have a huge bibliography here. I list all my sources. I don't have much on very little theory here. I just saved an afterword for my
personal. Right. Yeah, I mean, the book is like over 300 pages or something, too.
Yeah, it's a pretty good size. It's a normal size. But what I've tried to do, as I say, is I've tried to stitch one fact onto the next, and it's an easy stitch because they flow. They flow really well. And it's a story. It's a development from 1916 all the way on with really no breaks. I don't know what it amounts to, though. I don't know where it's going to go. And it sort of breaks off. But it's a uniform story. It has patterns and cycles, and it's all interrelated. And it's true. It's hard evidence. It's documented. And so I'm happy with it, the way it turned out. But well, I could never write a book like this again because I found it to be disturbing. The last couple of chapters, I thought, God, I wish this thing was over with. It's getting kind of a little too scary. One of the most recent things is when Elon Musk's Falcon missile was destroyed. And it was almost unnerving to hear about something like that taking place.
We're basing this on the theory that UFOs are either extraterrestrial or us coming back to right the wrongs of the past, whatever it is. What about the theories of collective unconscious that we create our UFOs and co-creation, meaning we have an outside force and we either manipulate it or interpret it in different ways? That goes totally opposite of your theory. Have you ever looked into it?
Yes. The truth, I think, is a synthesis of these valid theories. And they are valid theories. They're not just fantasies. But they're attempts to think things out. And I think that what we are heading for is a synthesis, an organic combination of these different points. And I think that's where the truth lies, quite honestly. Yes, I believe that there's part of the collective unconsciousness, which is influencing things, but is itself influenced. It's merging. I think these things are definitely merging. I don't pretend to have any theory that explains anything. All I've tried to do is just to lay out the facts, the information as best I can. My background, I should have mentioned earlier, is in journalism. I went to Southern Illinois University, which had the third best school of journalism in the country at that time, and I learned enough there, and I worked in newspapers and magazines and kind of write books and all that, but I am a journalist, and I try to be an honest reporter and tell the truth and find out what the background on these things are and let the reader really try to sort it out and let the reader come to his or her own conclusions and theories rather than me foisting my own opinions on people.
Well, you're not being doctrinaire about this. You realize this is a theory that we may find parts of it or all of it to be wrong, but there's a lot of compelling stuff there, some stuff frightening in its implications. We all have to be extremely disturbed over the way things are going now. As we do this show, we hear about this possible planned attack by the U.S. to attack Iran, which was supposedly called off by the president at the last minute. If I was E.T., I'd say, forget about it. Let's get rid of these beings and start over.
That's right. Actually, that's the most natural thing you'd think. Maybe they don't out of sentimentality because they know that we are them.
Or we're just interesting to study. I mean, you know, sit back without a bucket of popcorn and watch him blow each other up. I don't know, you know.
There's plenty of places more interesting than us. You know,
I don't know.
Is a vehicle where you can go any place in the universe. I'm sure they've seen places, thousands or millions of Earth-like places. So we're nothing special at all. I don't think we're anything special at all. We're just a little backwater.
Then again, when we don't know of any other planets quite like ours, and Earth is an amazing place. And humanity is really interesting to say. I mean, yeah, we get things wrong and we act in crazy ways, but look at all the other life as well here. And I think the Earth is an amazing planet. And we've seen quite a few other places in the universe in terms of just looking and observing. And we haven't really been able to find anything else or any real evidence of anything else quite as amazing as ours in terms of life and diversity, and I think it's actually pretty cool.
Well, it is, but we haven't looked, really. We can't look yet, but we're getting there, I suppose. But I think from a galactic point of view, we're probably a bad neighborhood.
yeah, you might be right about that. You know, there's some stuff I wish I could have asked, and, you know, with a little luck, maybe we can get you back for our After the Paracast segment, which we'll ask you about
later.
Well,
that'd be fine. I'd be really honored. I've enjoyed this discussion very much. Both you gentlemen are certainly well-versed in this subject. I'm grateful for the opportunity to become part of it.
I've mentioned the Alien Expo happening in August. Can you tell us more about what you plan for it?
Well, I'm just going to be speaking at the Alien Expo in Knoxville, Tennessee. It'll be my first time down there. The main thrust that I'm going to talk about are some, I think, illustrative incidents in which the main purpose of my book is to show that this is a serious developing military confrontation that has been going on and is continuing to develop, unfortunately. And I'm going to be citing some incidents like, for example, the submarines that were destroyed in a 7-month period involving UFOs as well. That's not too well known. And things like that are the disappearance of the Mokla and Wilson and things of that nature that we've discussed on the
program. We're looking forward to that. Quickly, any place we can find more of what you do, a website or something?
Well, actually, I suppose the best is the magazine that I still work for. It's called Ancient American, ANCIENT American.com. And they have a number of my books listed there. Only the one, of course, deals with UFOs, and that's Military Encounters with Extraterrestrials.
We look forward to having you back talking about the ancient mysteries, because I have always been fascinated by these, as has Randall and our guest co-host, Mark Jackson. You can find us on Twitter if you look for the Paracast. Look for two Paracast fan clubs on Facebook. One's a community, one's a group. I don't know why we can't just merge them and not lose content. But Facebook is inscrutable. What is not inscrutable is After the Paracast. That's our specialty show, which we offer to subscribers of the Paracast Plus. And this week on After the Paracast, our special guest will be Frank Joseph with more fascinating discussions. To learn more about it, go to plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. We offer prices as low as $1.49 a week, monthly, annual, five-year lifetime. And this show has been around for, heck, more than 13 years. So we've got a lot to do and a lot of big things coming. Go to plus.theparacast.com. And, of course, we also offer a version of this show, this radio show, free of the network ads with enhanced audio. plus.theparacast.com. I want to give a special thank you to our guest this week, Frank Joseph, for joining us on the Paracast.
Thank you so much, Gene and Randall. It was a real pleasure.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.